I want to preach a sermon tonight. I've never preached a full sermon about. I've made the points, but I've been preaching, you know, 60 plus years and everything. And I want to preach tonight and to remind you something that you already know, but you may not understand how emphatically the Bible emphasized this truth, and that is that God cares for widows. Isn't that amazing? Think about how many widows there are in this church. I think there's some 30-something widows in the church. At one time, we had as many as 42 widows some time ago, and they need to be reminded of God's care for them. And a lot of time, those widows are those who come on Sunday night. And so this lesson, you think, is only for you, and go ahead and think that, but for the rest of you, I want you to understand it has some widespread applications. It's not just widows that are lonely Christians. It's not just widows that struggle in trying to serve God. It's widowers. It's individuals who are divorced. It's individuals who have concerns in their lives because their husbands are not Christian and they're trying to struggle. It has to do with those who never married. It has to do with those individuals whose children have abandoned them. The whole focus of tonight's lesson is the emphasis the Bible gives to the fact that God cares for widows. But I hope you'll make a personal application, and as we talk about this, if you're not a widow, I hope you'll think about you and where you are in your own life situation. And I want you to leave here tonight saying, you know, God really, really is good. You look at this text, it's in from Isaiah. You look at Isaiah, you look at this first chapter, and Israel is headed for Babylonian captivity. It's going to come nearly 100 years after Isaiah writes all of these things. But that nation is so sick spiritually that he says in those early verses of Isaiah chapter 1, that from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, there's nothing but sores, putrefying sores. You know what that is? That's one of those sores that will not heal. There's that internal activity underneath the skin, and there's just pus sometimes that is being formed, and there's just watery substance that's just coming out. And the Lord looked at that nation and said, you know what I see? I see one of the sickest nations on this earth from top to bottom. Now then, he says in chapter 1, I hate your feast days. It is remarkable that in the time that they were doing these things, they were still religious folks. How does this Bible talk about solving those kinds of problems? And widows are mentioned. And that's why we use this as an introductory text. He says, wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil doing from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, and then look at this, defend the fatherless and plead for the widows. Those of you who are not widows tonight, you need to understand the responsibility the rest of us have toward widows. And the road to spiritual recovery, as given here, was take care of the fatherless and widows. You'd be religious, but if part of you being religious does not have within it defending the fatherless and pleading for the cause of widows. And how many widows are there in this church who've taken your car into the dealership and you've come out owing $700-$800 for something that really should only have cost $100? What does that say about a nation where some of the most abused individuals, fatherless, think of those immigrants that are coming in, children that are coming in unaccompanied, and how people are taking those children and using them for vile purposes and everything. And so he says, you need to defend the fatherless and you need to plead for the cause of widows. Sometimes that individual who's always had a husband to change light bulbs, she's a widow now, and she cannot even figure out how to do this. And what about the matters of computers and making all of those things kind of function? Abilities that young adults and young people and teenagers have, you guys could really help some of these old folks in this church. And I guess I'll have to put myself in that number in relationship to the technology that's there. Plead for the fatherless and defend the widows. And then he says, now, having done that, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How do we introduce this lesson? Well, let's introduce it by saying, God cares. Now, not everybody believes that. In our culture, in America, those who are believers in God and admit that they are believers in God are still in the majority, but only barely. Do you know a large percentage of our society says, there is no God who cares at all for me? We live in a godless nation as far as the impact of those individuals. And when those individuals who have no understanding of God, when agnostics become that, when they get in political powers and in charge of our schools, look and see what's happening. Open your eyes and understand that there are individuals who, when there is death or when there are situations in their lives, they have no place to go. That's atheist. There's the deist. You know what the deist believes? Well, the deist believes, and among these in American history was Thomas Jefferson, who believed that there is a God, but he's not concerned about what's happening on this earth. He's just made a little toy down here, and he's wound up the clock, and he's just going to let it run down, just see where it all goes. Deist. And there are individuals who are deists who do not even recognize this. And that are those individuals who deny the providence of God. You begin looking at another group, and that's the Calvinist. And I'm talking about the old Calvinist, whenever predestination was such a part of Calvinism. And the doctrine being that Christ died on the cross, but he didn't die for all men. He only died for the elect. And his atonement, Calvinism said, his atonement is not for all men. The fact that makes peace between God and man, that Christ tried to do, he didn't try to do that for everybody. He only tried to do it for those who were predestined to be saved. That's a denial that God cares. And I need to be careful how I talk about this next point. That's environmentalist, who have elevated the creation of God far above God himself. And so their concept of God is not of a God who cares. That he's not a God who cares about things that are happening on this earth, and therefore it's left up to us to be the ones who are concerned about it. That's not all environmentalists, but you understand those individuals who think that Mother Nature is better than Father God. God doesn't care, and it's up to us to help Mother Nature. You know what true believers, where they are? God knows, and God cares, and God helps. I've used these very thoughts sometimes in funerals whenever we talk about that individual who's setting the type down at the newspaper so it could be published and written down, can type into the computer about some individual's death. They know of the death. They don't care at all about it. They're individuals who, when they drive by a funeral procession or when they come by a building where a funeral is in progress, they know there's a funeral going on. They don't care. And so They know, but they don't care. There are those who know and they care, but they can't do anything to help. God cares. And we're going to emphasize this point tonight in emphasizing the fact that He cares for widows, but God cares and God helps. And how wonderful that is. I don't need to remind you, do I, that God is concerned about all of His creation. Behold the fowls of the air. Isn't that remarkable? They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your Father feeds them. And then He says, and not one bird falls to the earth, and the Greek word there can allow the meaning, not that he's flying alone and he takes a nosedive because he's had a bird heart attack or whatever would kill a flying bird, and you understand what I'm saying. He alights on this earth. He does not alight on this earth without His Father. And the next time you see that bird that's on one branch who just flies up to another branch or flies to another tree, you need to understand the Bible said God's aware of that bird. God is concerned about all of His creation. But tonight, we want to focus in on the fact that God cares for one important part of His world, and that is widows. How neglected are widows? In every culture, from almost the beginning of time, widows are sort of pushed aside. In a society where marriage is common and where there are husbands and wives, those of you who are single sometimes feel like you're out on the outside. And that individual who is now a widow at one time was a part of a lot of groups of husbands and wives that did things together. She always had her husband to sit beside her in worship. And now it's all changed. You see, we need to understand that the Bible talks a lot about widows. And we hope this lesson will help you to appreciate that. Let's talk about the Bible and widows. Widows are mentioned nearly 100 times in the Bible. That's an amazing number. You know, I haven't checked the word baptize or baptism. David, is it some 60 or 70 times that baptism is mentioned in the Bible? As important as baptism is, here is an emphasis that 100 times God's concerned about widows. And I've said in teaching classes about this and making this point in a limited way, if I were a widow in the church, I would sit down and read every time the word widows is found in the Bible. The world ignores widows. They're mentioned nearly 100 times and the world ignores them, but most of the times they are mentioned in the Bible in the context in which they are mentioned, it is God is concerned about you. You know 1 Peter 3, verse 10 and it's through 12. The eyes of the Lord are over, you can fill in that blank, right? Are over the righteous. Think about, because the emphasis that we're making in this lesson tonight, the eyes of the Lord are over widows, lonely people, people who are out there all by themselves and have no one to turn to. And there's been that time in their life that they had a mate, but death brought about a separation. The eyes of the Lord are over widows. And His ears are open to their prayers. As you look at the scope of the Bible, there are widows who are mentioned, individuals that are mentioned in the book of Genesis. But when you get to Mount Sinai, you begin to see God's concern for widows. In chapter 20, you've got those 10 commandments. That's amazing. What follows? What topics are there that are mentioned? after you get beyond the 10, what commandments are there that follow that? I want you to look at the verse, Exodus chapter 22, verses 22 through 24, and look at how God, when He gives the Ten Commandments, within two chapters, reminds that entire nation of their responsibility. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless. Then He says, if you afflict them in any way, are you a widow? Have you been afflicted by something? Here's where God is. Are you that lonely person in your life? God looks down and said, if you afflict them in any way and they cry out to me, I will hear their cries. And my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wife shall be widows and your children fatherless. Isn't that amazing? If you afflict a widow, you will reap what you sow. In this time when God dealt physically, in a physical way with individuals and with nation, He says, your house, your wife will be without you. Because my anger, what does it look like when God gets angry? Talking about the wrath and the anger of a man, what does it look like when God Almighty gets angry? And so He says, and they cry out to me. Widows, lonely people, cry out to God. God knows. God cares. And God is able to help you. And the very fact that these words are in Exodus chapter 22, we do not have time tonight to look at all of the verses that mentions widows. I want us to look in the book of Deuteronomy and look at how God in this one book talks about widows. It was Brother Franklin Camp that said to me, where does Pharisaical Judaism come from? He said, Dan, the Pharisees read the book of Leviticus. If you commit this sin, find this animal and offer this sacrifice in this way for this sin. And they focus on Leviticus so much, he said, they never read the book of Deuteronomy. Do you know how much the book of Deuteronomy impacted Jesus? Do you know some verses from Deuteronomy that He was taught and He had to learn if He was tempted in all ways like as we are? God didn't zap verses into His head. Jesus Himself memorized some verses, and every time the devil tempted Him, He goes to the book of Deuteronomy. And all the way through the book of Deuteronomy, love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. The words that I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them to children, to your children. We need, because of the emphasis that's found in Deuteronomy and throughout all of the Bible, to make sure our children learn to be compassionate and caring for those who are widows. God cares for you. In chapter 16 of the book of Deuteronomy, verse 14, he mentions those feast days. All the males were required to come to those feast days. That was this Feast of the Tabernacles that is being discussed, where it was really a festival, where there was food that was shared in thanksgiving to God. Where do widows fit into that? Where does that person who doesn't have a family fit into that? Listen to God. You shall rejoice in your feast, you and your sons and your daughters, that's family. Your male servants and your female servants, that's the people in your home, the Levites. The strangers and the fatherless and the widows who are within your gates. In your gates had to do with the community, had to do with the city, that there were gates. And inside that, there were those strangers, there were those Gentiles. And God talks a lot about those strangers that are in the Old Testament. That's another entire sermon. But now he says, you make sure that when it comes to that spiritual time, that you include widows in that. That you include those who are lonely, those who are on the outside. They're a part of it. God is concerned about widows, and he's concerned about them being involved in the festivities and the joys of Christianity. Chapter 24 and verse 17. Chapter 24, verse 17. You shall not pervert justice due the strangers or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. That pledge sometimes was taken when money was being loaned or when favors were being extended. And sometimes it was possible for the Jews to take a man's garment and take that as a pledge. But he said, when a widow asks you, you're not allowed to take a widow's garment. Why? She doesn't have that many. And those of you who are widows understand the financial difficulties that you have, because when your husband was there, there was that income perhaps greater than your own income, and that was certainly true in biblical times. And the Lord says, you don't take a widow's garment as a pledge. Two verses later, he said, it's harvest time. And when you go out into your field and you're binding up all these sheaves of wheat together, and there's a bundle in our day, think of hay bales. Biblical times, they'd really understand it. But when you've gathered it all up and you've gathered up all your grain, and if you forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the strangers, the fatherless, and the widows, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the works of your hands. If you just had one sheaf and that's all you'd gotten, you wouldn't forget it. But there is that abundance of the blessings that God has given to that individual who owned that field and that widow who had no field to own. And God says, that field belongs to her. When you've harvested that which is rightly yours, for a laborer is worthy of his hire, you cannot go back and pick up that sheaf. That's for the widow. Look again in chapter 24, verse 20. When you beat your olive trees, I don't know how often you beat your olive trees, but there are some fruits that are harvested because you take something and hit all of the branches and all of the fruit falls down. Most of it does. Widows, God's going to take care of you in Judaism, because when you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the strangers and the fatherless and the widows. And the very next verse. When you gather the grapes in your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. gleaning of the grapes that were left behind that might not have been ripe enough at the time when the real harvest was being made, you cannot go back the second time to get it. Why? Because God made provision under Judaism to take care of widows. Look at the next chapter, chapter 25, verse 5. And this is rather ironic, but I believe it shows God's concern about widows in the provision about the matter of a woman who was left without any children and what was to happen to her when she could not provide for herself. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as a wife, and perform the duty of the husband's brother to her. If she's married to a stranger, how will she be treated when she is no longer a part of that family, in-laws, his brothers and his sisters, his own parents? God says she needs family. And oh, how our lonely members need family. God made provision because God cares. The tithe that was given, there was a tithe that was given every third year. They gave 30% of their income. Actually, it was two tithes every year, and every third year there was a third tithe. Some years they gave a third of their income. Here's this third year tithe. Chapter 26, verse 12. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levites, the strangers, and the fatherless, and the widows, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Look at the next verse. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and I've given it to the Levites, and the strangers, and the fatherless, and the widows, according to all your commandments which you've commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. Sometimes we think that tithe was a temple tax, and sometimes that was a manifestation of it. But some of those tithes were simply gifts that were given, and then the family sat down and ate them. But widows don't have families. And so God made provision because he wanted to care for widows that they shared in the abundance of the tithe that was come. Look at this one finally from Deuteronomy. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to the strangers, the fatherless, and the widows. And this was a part of a ceremony they went through, and when they read that, the entire nation of Israel said, Amen. I want to imagine Israel there, the nation. They arrive at the Mount of Blessing, the Mount of Cursing, and when they arrive there, from the high top of that mountain, he says, cursed is every man who doesn't provide for widows. And there's an echo, not just of hundreds, not just of thousands, not just of tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands of Jews said, Amen. We're going to take care of our widows. There are so many other verses. I started to just do this that I did in Deuteronomy from the book of Psalms. There are two or three verses in Psalms, widows, that you need to mark them in your Bible. But before we talk about at least some verses from the book of Psalms, I want you to see God's concern in stories that are in the Bible specifically about widows. Ruth was a foreigner. She became a stranger within the gate. She was a Moabite. There was a famine in Israel, and so Naomi and her husband go down to the land of Moab. Her sons marry, takes two sons with them, and they marry, and one of the daughter-in-laws was Ruth. How important is the place Ruth plays in the Bible? She's the great grandmother of Jesus. Get it? And she's not a Jew. She's a widow. And oh, the faith she has. When Naomi is pleading with her and her sister-in-law to go and live among the Moabites, Ruth said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Wherever you go, that's where you go. Where you die, that's where I die. That's where I will be buried. And then she says, this woman who has grown up as a pagan says, and your God shall be my God. Widows, lonely people, make Jehovah God your personal God. What a story from Ruth. What about the faith of the widow from Zarephath who fed Elijah? You know the story, do you not, of the famine that was going to come in 1 Kings chapter 17. Whenever Elijah said to King Ahab, it's not going to rain for a long period of time. The Lord fed Elijah and put him out by the brook Kidron, just not far away from Jerusalem. The ravens brought him food, but finally the water dried up. What's he going to do? There's a widow, not among the Jews. There is a widow up among the folks in the modern terminology of that, more biblical terminology would be Phoenicia. It's Sidon, Tyre and Sidon, up in that area, Lebanon. And Elijah leaves there and heads up in that area. And 1 Kings chapter 17 said, I have commanded a widow to take care of you. How's that going to happen? Because whenever she's up there, she's a widow. A man of God may be about to come up here. How am I going to take care of the man of God? And whenever she meets Elijah and Elijah meets her, he said, could I have some water to drink? And while she's going to get the water, Elijah says, oh, and bring me some bread. She had been out gathering 3 sticks. I want you to hear that. That's all she needed to cook the last bit of wheat that she had or barley that she had and make 1 loaf out of it for her and her son. And she said, and we were planning to eat that, and then we knew we would die. Here's a widow at the point of death. She got a child. She doesn't have a husband. In a foreign land. Elijah, go up there. Make me some bread. And Jesus talks about this widow. He knew about this story. And we need to understand that here is a woman who is subject to the will of God and obedient to the will of God. And God uses this widow who has nothing to please God. What about that widow that Jesus came into contact with? What about the widow of Nain? In Judaism, when a person died, they buried the person the same day. You know, they took him off the cross and they buried him. Jews in modern times do that, almost that very same thing. They bury them, you know, the day or the next day. And so here, Jesus comes into the city of Nain, and there's a widow. She's not only a widow. Her son just died. She's not only lost her husband, she's lost her son, and that's the only child she has, and they're carrying him out to bury him. I want you to see the compassion of God in the flesh when Emmanuel lived on this earth and he sees this helpless widow and he said, I'm going to take care of her. and the widow with the two mites. Isn't it amazing? These two stories about Jesus and widows are in the Bible to help us understand God's going to take care of widows. And if you are a widow, you need to understand God's going to take care of you. If you're fatherless, or if you're just that individual living alone because of circumstances in your life, this lesson is to remind you, God will take care of you. Application beyond that, and then we'll come back to this last slide. Here's to the rest of us who are not widows. Pure and undefiled religion is to be the Church of Jesus, who has the Lord's Supper every Sunday, who practices baptism by immersion, who worships God in the way that God has specified. And sometimes, because of the emphasis on truth, and I am not minimizing in any way the kind of preaching that is done in this church, nor the emphasis placed on those matters. Those are the matters that are under attack by Satan himself. But pure and undefiled religion has more than Leviticus, the feast days. It has Deuteronomy. And pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions. It's to defend them. It's to plead for them. When you pick up that church directory, that pictorial directory you have, and you see that individual standing alone in that pictorial directory, what an opportunity that is for you to be friendly to somebody who may have very few friends. Amen. To be a helper to somebody who has no one to help them. There are individuals in the kingdom of God who hurt. And on behalf of the rest of us who are not widows, on behalf of the church, may I say to you, please don't be so arrogant that you lie there in your bed suffering, or you're in your house and there are needs in your house. Please don't hide from us your needs. And Fran and Kane, I just looked back there and thought about another group, and that is old folks. On behalf of those who are old, are saying to those who are older, on behalf of the rest of us, please let us know how we can help you. Don't be so proud and self-sufficient that you rob us of the blessing, for it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I found one of the Psalms, and I've called this the Psalm, the Widow's Psalm. It's not. What a way to end this lesson, because there are widows that are mentioned in it, the blind are mentioned in it. But you're talking about a way to end the day if you're a widow, if you're lonely. Psalms 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Don't put your trust in men, in the princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. He dies, his spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Son of Man cannot help you, but the Son of God can. for he does not die and he does not perish, and his people are there. Widows, every one person here this night, happy is the man who has the God of Jacob for his help. Think about God and the help he gave to Jacob and to Abraham and Isaac and Joseph. The God of Jacob. Happy is the man who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoner. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widows. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. And the psalm ends as it begins. Praise the Lord. And when I typed this in, I thought, the letter is not complete until we make one other statement. God cares for widows. Do you? A phone call, a text, a remembrance of some lonely person on their birthday, or just seeing them here at the building and saying, you encourage me so much by your faithfulness. I am so thankful you're my brother and my sister. I'm here for you. Pure and undefiled religion at Palm Beach Lakes is to be a family and to take care of each other. Because Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it and provided for all of our spiritual needs, but we become the hands and the feet and the tongues that can defend and help those who are widows and those who are lonely. Leave this building tonight understanding God cares for widows. And if that's not you, leave this building tonight thinking, God cares for me in my circumstances. Praise the Lord. Let's sing the song of invitation. We've entitled the slides, it has the steps of salvation, becoming a caring Christian. And this is not some plan some man devised. This is God's way of taking you from where you are and making you to be like Jesus was, one who cares for others, who cares for those who are in need. It is a deep-seated faith that causes you to change your life and change the direction of your life and say, that's the way I'm going to live. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. And when I can let others know by a confession that I believe Jesus is the Son of God, then I can be baptized into the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and God will forgive me of every mistake I've ever made. Add me to the body. Add me to the God's family. And then he says to those of us who've done that, don't you dare give it up. You keep on keeping on until the day you die, and I will give you a crown of life. If you're not a Christian, why would you not become a child of God tonight? If you're a wayward child of God and you've wandered away, why would you not come home? Let us know how we can help you. I come to the front right now, as together we stand and sing. Will you come?